From Tomboy to Butterwang, you're listening to Braidwood FM 88.9.
Braidwood FM 88.9. It's my great pleasure to welcome for the very first time the current federal member for Eden Monaro, Christy McBain, who is on the line from somewhere in the ionosphere. Hi, Christy, how are you doing?
Good morning, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And this is the first time I've actually chatted to you at Braidwood FM, so welcome aboard.
Thank you, nice to be here. Joining you from very windy Marimbula today.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, a bit breezy on the coast, is it? Is it a southerly?
A bit breezy, a bit cold.
Oh, great.
Headed to Queanbeyan for the next 4 days after this, so I don't expect it's going to get any warmer.
Now, you better take your thermals, and Cambo better take his as well. All right. Let's talk about your first few months as the elected federal member. How have you found the role, and what sorts of issues are you finding that people are concerned about the most in the Eden Monaro electorate?
Look, since I was elected in July 2020, and since that time I've done about just over 41,000 Ks in the car, travelling the length and breadth of Eden Monaro. It's a huge electorate, as everybody knows. And
absolutely.
It really does have a bit of everything in it. We've got, our coastal strip, we've got, beautiful mountain ranges.
Yeah.
We've got every agricultural pursuit you can think of, and then we've got our more built-up areas. But quite surprisingly, there's, generally a common threads of what people are talking about in every different part of this electorate. Bushfire recovery is a huge topic.
Yep.
We are still talking a lot about black spots and internet connectivity not being the best that it could and should be for our region.
Sure.
Housing is a massive issue right across the region. And everybody, I think, is a little bit at the moment concerned about job security and about their financial security with all of the uncertainty around the pandemic.
Does it concern you that JobKeeper is being wound up?
Look, I think that the distressing part for many local businesses is that JobKeeper was wound up before the vaccination rollout was complete.
Yeah.
And that the National Cabinet has really sort of failed to land any definitions of hotspot or any triggers for border closures, which really impacts multiple parts of this electorate. So there's a lot of uncertainty around, if there's a breakout, what the impact is going to be on businesses in any particular region. So I think the uncertainty that provides for businesses and employees is really big.
Yeah, sure. You mentioned housing as an issue, and look, homelessness is something that I've been involved in the fringes of through my time on the board at Hope House in Batemans Bay, and it really is a worry, isn't it, that people are still sleeping in cars, and people who have had homes destroyed by bushfires are still sleeping in tents.
Yeah, look, it is quite stark that, whilst most people have moved on to talking about, the health pandemic and our recovery out of that, we still have large parts of this electorate hugely impacted by the impacts of bushfire. And that's people who have been directly impacted, as you quite rightly say, are still living in non-permanent accommodation, and whether that be caravans and tents or whether that's in motels or holiday houses. We know that is a huge issue. We know that right across this region, we had a social housing crisis before the bushfires, which has been exacerbated by it. And we know that we've had a lot of people moving into the regions during this pandemic, which has taken up a lot of housing and a lot of rentals that are normally free for people within our region. So this is a crisis that's not going to end anytime soon, and it's incumbent upon state and federal governments to be working together to make sure that we're dealing with this housing crisis in our region.
Sure. So what can we do about it, Christy, do you think?
Well, I think there has to be an additional investment in social housing, and that should be made by both the state and the federal governments. I mean, that provides jobs in the regions in the building and construction side of things, but it also provides a social outcome because we know we do have people that are on waiting lists or that are couch surfing or living in cars at the moment that should be in those social houses. I mean, the fastest growing demographic of homelessness is women over 55.
Yeah.
We have had people contact in the office, you know, who are in their 70s who don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
So this is an issue, as I said, right across the electorate, and we actually should be working together to make sure that we're getting an outcome for the region.
Yeah, I guess there are two strings to that bow. Firstly, we don't have the accommodation, but aged care is starting to get out of reach of a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, look, aged care is a huge issue, and we've seen the Royal Commission handed down, which,
yeah,
you know, really speaks volumes to the fact that there needs to be structural change within this sector. Throwing money at it is obviously going to be welcome, but unless there is some structural change, unless there's some transparency in the system, I fear that not much will actually change within the sector. So we want to make sure that there's structural change within the aged care sector. Last night I did a Zoom with a number of Eden Monero lawyers talking about some of the big issues facing lawyers practically who have to obviously implement and decipher legislation and regulation imposed,
yeah,
upon us by state and federal governments, and they all acknowledge that aged care is a huge issue and one that needs to be addressed.
Does red tape do your head in?
It frequently does. I think it's a bugbear of us all. We
yeah,
are, you know, largely over-regulated.
Yeah.
And some of that regulation is simply in paperwork.
I mean,
it doesn't actually provide any additional outcomes. And, you know, one of the things that I was always frustrated about as a lawyer is, you know, there were so many boxes to tick when, you know, if we're realistic about it, there were probably only two or three that were, you know,
necessary,
required,
yeah,
and the rest just sort of became, you know, pieces of things that were done over time. And, you know, we don't want to overcomplicate things. We need to make things simpler for people, especially,
yeah,
in the aged care sector.
Absolutely. Now, rural GPs is a problem. I see that Bombala could be facing time without a local GP. And, you know, in some of the smaller communities, this is a real issue, isn't it?
It's becoming a huge issue. We are now in a situation where in 2 weeks' time there'll be no GP servicing the Bombala district. There'll,
yep,
be no GP clinic there. It's becoming almost unviable for our local GPs to remain in practice in the regions. The accreditation process, making sure that you've got all of these boxes ticked to actually run the GP service is one of the biggest frustrations from a number of our local GPs. I've been told by GPs right through this electorate that they are having huge trouble attracting younger GPs to take over their practices. And if there's no succession plan, we're looking at a situation where our GPs are leaving the areas.
Yes.
Or the GPs that we retain are working past probably when they would like to be moving on to retirement because they have this, you know, sense of service to the
sure,
region that they've lived in for so long.
Sure.
So, you know, we have to start working together and making sure we can retain and attract GPs into our region.
So how do you think we can do that?
Look, there's been a number of ideas floated. Obviously, incentives to get GPs working regionally, the idea of Medicare provider numbers attaching to towns,
yep,
rather than to doctors, to make sure that people do come and service the town itself, the idea of GP clinics running out of our local hospitals. So there are a number of ideas that are being floated, and a number of community members in Bombala have been in touch with my office,
yep,
suggesting ideas. And, you know, I want to make sure we're working with our community to get an outcome because we cannot leave the Bombala region without a GP. And I fear that, you know, if it starts to happen in one part of the electorate, we might see it in others, and we can't have that in our region.
No, that's exactly right. I know there's a bit of an issue that you have concerns around the forestry industry as well.
Yeah, that's right. We've been hit probably the hardest in Eden Monero of any,
yeah,
region during the bushfires, and 40% of the softwood plantation industry has been lost in the Snowy Valleys in that Tumbarumba Tumut area. I've had multiple dealings with a couple of processors, Hine Timber Mill, AKD Sawmill, and they're all saying, you know, now is the time for us to modernise the way we do business.
Yep.
And the federal government put forward the modernising manufacturing grant facility, and unfortunately it specifically excludes forestry. It includes every other fibre source across the country except for forestry. So I've been working across party lines here, and
yep.
There are Hine Timber Mills in Lou O'Brien's seat in Queensland, who's an LNP member. There's a Hine Timber Mill in Helen Haynes' seat in Victoria, who's an
yep.
independent. So the three of us have signed a joint letter requesting the government move and make sure that forestry is included in this modern manufacturing grant fund.
Excellent. All right, be interesting to hear the outcome of that. Do you?
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Do you follow polls much?
Well, I don't tend to pay too much attention to polling.
Yeah.
I've got a huge electorate, so I focus more on what's happening in my community than what's happening in polling.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair. Why? What's it saying this week, Disco?
Well, it's saying that the Prime Minister's losing a little bit of traction, but the Labor leader's not gaining any. So where the hell's it going?
I don't know, and that's what I mean. I think I was watching the news the other day, and someone said that the One Nation vote was going up in WA. And
what?
I mean, they've just had a state election, and I don't think it went well for them.
No, I don't think there were many left on the Titanic there. All right, let's move on to Anzac Day before we both get in the stripe. A chance to reflect, I think, Christy, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it really is. Anzac Day on our calendar has really become a day of national commemoration, and I think so many people are now involved and so many people want to get together and make sure we can commemorate that day in the right way. It's fantastic to see local schools being involved, service organisations. I know on the coast that RFS volunteers are going to be involved this year too, and I hope that's the case in many of our other locations. It really is a day to reflect on how well we do have it in this country, and that is obviously on the back of freedoms that were hard won by generations before us.
Yeah, and we should reflect a bit on mental health connected with the armed forces too, shouldn't we? Because, you know, a lot of our diggers and former diggers and what have you really do have to deal with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they do. And it's fantastic that the government has now agreed to a royal commission into veterans' suicide. You know, mental health is a big issue, and it's probably one that wasn't talked about a lot. You know, if we look back towards World War One, World War Two, or the Vietnam War, it's much better for the entire community that we're now talking about it. But this Royal Commission obviously needs to be in place.
Yep.
This year alone, 18 former defence veterans or serving defence personnel have taken their own lives. And we're only in April. So, you know, we need to get to the bottom of how we can help our veterans transition back into civilian life. And we need to get to the bottom of why our veterans are feeling that much despair, that's the only option left for them. And I really hope that the Royal Commission, the terms of reference are wide, that we consult widely with our community, and that we make sure that the recommendations coming from this are implemented and we can really start helping our veterans transition.
Absolutely. I guess the next big item on your agenda could well be Budget Week. God, that's going to be interesting.
Budget Week is always interesting. looking forward to heading back into Canberra, obviously, mid-May.
Yeah.
The budget, I hope, obviously addresses some of the issues that we've seen come out of the aged care Royal Commission recommendations, and obviously I think we'll probably see some money towards those women's legal services and women's domestic violence services, but there's still a long way to go.
Yes.
You know, we're $1 trillion in debt, and what we do want to see is meaningful generational change for people in terms of housing and in terms of support getting themselves back on their feet. So I'm hopeful that we'll see some of those big issues dealt with.
Indeed. I think we're going to speak to you about every 3 or 4 weeks. Cambo's organising that, so I just leave it to him.
Fantastic.
Yeah. maybe we might speak to you again on the morning after the night before, so to speak, once the budget's handed down.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
Yeah, good on you, Christy. Nice to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Perfect. See you soon.
See you. There goes the federal member for Eden Monaro, Christy McBain, and I must a big shout out to my mate Mike Kelly, who listens in on a reasonably regular basis. So, Mike, if you're listening, hope you're well, and we might catch up with you for a bit of a comment or two on the budget as well.
This is Braidwood FM.